This Hello. Is the Thursday afternoon show on WGXC, ACRA 90.7 on your FM dial. I'm Debbie Mayer, and I'm here with Ellen Thurston.
That's me.
And Phyllis Segura. Is that right, Phyllis?
Yes, and, that's me.
Yes, and Jeffrey Leppendorf is standing in the wings.
Jeffrey, okay. If you've been listening, Phyllis has been talking about the Read and Feed Festival that's taking place on Sunday.
Right, I've heard
and
about it.
And food figures largely in that festival. So we've been talking a lot about food. So Phyllis Segura is here because she's a new programmer for WGXC, and her show, which is called
Eating It in the Hudson Valley. Just slightly irreverent.
And it's going to be coming to people from Catskill, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the library, downstairs in the library in Catskill.
Right.
On the second Tuesday of each month. Can you hear me?
There, that's better.
By getting
you
any
have
closer,
to talk yes, directly
right
into the mic
the
here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second Tuesday of the month at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So the next show is August 8th.
Oh.
There's once a month.
Once Goodness. A month.
Once a month for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be giving recipes and talking about food in all different kinds of ways.
Well, recipes is one of it, but I'm more interested in all the other food-related things, the farmers, local products especially. Mm-hmm. But I do a food report, and that's a lot of things. Whatever lands on my desk, really, and that I look for, I mean, things that are happening with the USDA. The first show, which I did for half an hour, I interviewed someone named Grace Gershuni about what organics are. Mm-hmm. And she's the one. If you listen to that show, that was in May. And it's archived, so people can hear it at the WGXC.org. She went to Vermont very early, and she was at the beginnings of the organic movement. And then in the 90s, the USDA hired her to help write the regulations. So if anybody knows about organics, it's Grace Gershuni. She also wrote a book called Organic Revolutionary, which is a memoir. So that was the first show. It was kind of interesting. So I'm interested in things like that as well, defining things for people. Because what organic is and isn't is very confusing. And what she told us is not what people think. It's not protecting you from things. It's more about the soil and the way people farm and leaving out the synthetic pesticides and so forth. But it's not exactly the assumptions that people make about what organics are. And then the last show was about foraging. So I had Dina Falcone on, who's a local clinical herbologist. Mm-hmm. And I did an interview with John Michelotti about mushrooms. He takes people on mushrooms walks and teaches them how to grow their own mushrooms at Catskill.
We've had plenty of rain lately. Should be a lot of mushrooms around.
There might be. In the summer, I'm not so sure because I'm not that knowledgeable. But he is. Catskill Fungi is what his company is.
Oh, I have mushrooms in my yard, don't you?
You do.
Ellen? I do.
You
got
to
yes.
have some. Yeah, you got to find out what they are.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't eat them.
Yeah, to identify them. Well, Europeans really—they start when they're children, and children are able to identify the good mushrooms right off the bat. Huh. We've kind of lost it a little bit.
Definitely.
So the show is, is more about all kinds of things. When school starts up, I'm hoping to get into farm to school, and the reason I'm doing radio.
Yes.
Rather than writing articles, which I have done. I've written for some of the local magazines about different food topics. And, when you're writing, you pitch a story. And then whether they like it or they don't like it, and then they'll edit it. And then very often you find that when you pitch a story, let's say if I wanted to write about farm to school, maybe they've already had an article.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not comprehensive enough. It doesn't satisfy me. It doesn't. Magazines don't really let you say adversarial things.
Hmm.
You can't go the next step. It has to be.
But radio does.
Well, radio. I can announce things more about what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening right now with the USDA and all the agricultural things, and I get that in my inbox daily.
Huh. And you live locally, Phyllis?
I live in Saugerties.
Oh, Saugerties. Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh.
So I think horizontally.
Yes, exactly.
I used to live in Spencertown.
Uh-huh. I see. Do you get WGXC in Saugerties?
No.
Mm.
No,
oh,
but you
really?
Can get it.
It doesn't go that far.
Mm-mm. It doesn't go that far, but you can get it online anywhere.
Yeah,
that's right.
And people have.
Well,
yes.
Before the program, we were talking about the group called Long Table Harvest. Mm-hmm. You ever heard of them?
I don't know them, no.
Well, they came on our program last year, I think. And what they do is, they call it gleaning. They will mm-hmm. go to these big gardens primarily right. and pick up the vegetables that the machines or the pickers or however they were harvested before have left behind.
Right.
Or maybe they're unable to sell them, you know, because their tomato crop was so big this year.
Well, I have heard of them.
Yeah.
just didn't remember the name. Very often the stores won't take what they call ugly vegetables.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they
right.
will. Agnes Varda did, by the way, did a wonderful film called The Gleaners.
Yes, I yeah. saw it.
So if you don't know what gleaning is, that's
right, that will tell you.
Yeah. yeah.
Good.
Well, they then, of course, redistribute it to places that, food kitchen, what do you call
food
it?
Pantries.
Food pantries mm-hmm. and places
yes.
like that.
Yes, yes.
And they've done an incredible job. And now they're getting into, they're saying, they're going to have for sale Southeast Asian, Caribbean, and Latin vegetables and herbs. Lemongrass, turmeric, all kinds of more exotic things that we don't tend to use in American cooking, but in other countries. You do, and
yeah,
sure,
regularly.
Some people do, but people to make it more widely used.
I put a lot of this information up on the Facebook page for Eating It in the Hudson Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I mention things that I meant to talk about on the show, and I park a lot of information there.
Mm-hmm.
There's lists that I have of the food pantries in all these counties,
mm-hmm.
and people are
Excellent.
Using them more and more. The numbers have really gone up.
You can keep talking for 1 minute. Then we have to have news.
Oh, okay.
This is the engineer speaking.
Well, I'm reminding people there's the Facebook page.
Yes, tell them
the Facebook,
Facebook page.
For Eating It in the Hudson mm-hmm. Valley is where you can check the notes and make comments, add your recipes, your own food news and questions.
Great.
Cool.
And I'll give you more after the news.
Yes, right. We're about to head into our ID and news segment. So we're back. I'm here. I'm Debbie Mayer. And I'm here with Ellen Thurston and Phyllis Segura. I think I have all our microphones on. You
Hello?
Could speak and see
yes.
if you... Yes.
Okay.
I think this
Good.
Is Thursday, so it must be the
Thursday
afternoon
show.
Yay!
yeah.
And to those who might not have tuned in earlier, Thomas DiPietro is on leave for a couple of months because he is running for public office. So we'll miss him, but we understand why he's gone to do good works. We
yes.
hope. He
yes.
hopes.
Right.
So Phyllis Segura is here because she... is a new programmer, really, to WGXC and has a program that's once a month, and it's all about food. Phyllis, you say you broadcast from the library in Catskill.
Right.
And you cool. live in Saugerties.
Right.
Yeah. Where some famous comic came from. What's his name?
Ooh.
Right.
But tell us how you happen to have this great interest in food and telling people about it.
Well, it's more than an interest. I mean, being human, you eat. But I'm a personal chef myself.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing that, well over 20 years ago, without giving away any ages here. Just when personal chefs were starting and people had no idea what that was. But back when I'd gotten a scholarship from the James Beard Foundation and I went to study in Florence, Italy, Then my grandmother was a great cook. Nobody ever managed to get her recipes, though, much to my chagrin. Nor did I. Didn't think of those things then. But basically, I'm an artist. I'm a painter. So I took up cooking to be able to support painting. Well, that didn't work out too well, but I still paint. And I've been working on a cookbook for many years. I combined it with, I have a long meditation practice of Tibetan Buddhism. Chögyam Trungpa was my teacher. And I have a cookbook that I've been working on for any number of years that combines contemplative practices and using cooking. Is that a lot of people find cooking very, what they call, zen. It gives them a peace of mind when they're... So the book is really about using the preparation of food as a kind of meditation practice.
Oh, I need that book because dinner time rolls around and I think, what'll I cook tonight?
Really?
Well, it's more about the sense of appreciation that arises with, it's not so much answering the question, what should you cook? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're going to cook whatever is in the market that's available. Which reminds me, I want to make a shout out here for any chefs that are in Hudson or around. I'd like you to get in touch with me somehow, and the Facebook page of Eating It in the Hudson Valley is a good way to do that. And see if you want to be on the show. Check it if you'd like to come on or have a recipe or whatever you want to talk about. If you have a special dish, that would be great to hear from you. And check the notes. And there's also a phone number here that I was just given that people can leave a 3-minute message. It's 518-291-WGXC or 9492. You can leave a 3-minute message, 518-291-9492. So if you want to get in touch that way.
Through the WGXC line.
Yes. You can leave a message for me there.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you about the cooking workshop that I had started in
Spencertown? Oh, yes, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I was living in Rockland County for any number of years, and I wanted to move up the Hudson. And I took a place in Spencertown that had space big enough to have a small cooking workshop, and I have a rather extensive cookbook library. So it was called the Red Door Cooking Workshop and Library. Mm-hmm. Some of you might have even heard of it before. But I started in 2013 and I ended it less than a year later because I had a landlady from hell.
Sorry.
I mean, really. No names mentioned, but it was not the right place for me.
Right.
And also I had lived near water for a long time. And I realized being there that I was missing the water. So I moved to a place in Socrates that is in view of the water, but I can no longer have a space where I can do these cooking workshops. Mm. But I have some of the things that I offered in these classes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an idea. There was a creating tapas class where I would instruct people, and it was only 4 people that I would have at one time. Yeah, so everybody could really learn something. And the menu was potatoes bravas, shrimp and garlic, and meatballs and saffron sauce. And then there was an Italian class with fresh pasta. We did ravioli with the meat, vegetable, and cheese fillings and 2 sauces. Are there any recipes you'd like to hear about? Maybe I could just off the cuff give you some kind of recipe.
How about something really simple?
Really simple.
For people who live alone and are not very interested in cooking. And
I don't talk to those people. Sorry. Wrong number. Call somebody else. Hello, I'm hanging up.
They don't talk to you either,
No,
guess.
They don't talk to me.
Yeah.
No, if you don't like cooking, you might as well go eat out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to develop a sense of feeding yourself so that you can stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So not liking cooking means that you kind of lack an appreciation for the phenomenal world, in a sense. I mean, let's take cannellini beans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, something like cannellini beans with a little bit of garlic and sage and some good olive oil. You can even use canned cannellini beans.
Well, yes, I do.
Know? You use
and
canned
you can eat them raw.
Beans.
You can put them in with tuna fish and make a nice salad.
That's what I did last night. How amazing.
Well, do you rinse your cannellini beans?
I do, yes.
You rinse them. Mm-hmm. And then if you mix it with garlic and sage, and if you have, I would recommend having a very good extra virgin olive oil that you don't cook with, but you use as a condiment. Mm-hmm. That's very Italian. Mm-hmm. So something like that. Yeah, tuna fish if you want in it, that's fine. And then there's another one like with yellow lentils with chickpeas and onion and some mustard and some turmeric. Get that turmeric in there and some lemon juice. Mm-hmm. So yellow lentils cook up very quickly. Mm-hmm. And the lemon juice and the chickpeas in there. Now, that's really simple. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you like to cook or you don't, that's going to help you. And then how about some green beans? They're in season now with some tahini. Make a sauce with tahini and lemon juice. A little garlic and parsley in that, and you're done.
I guess. I mean, the green beans are so tasty that I find that just steaming them in the microwave, and I just love to eat them.
Well, I don't steam them in the microwave. I steam them with water, but that's up. You know, that's up to you.
Yeah.
So you were speaking of yourself. You're the one that doesn't like to cook.
That's right.
Well, you know, what can I tell you? I already did.
If you do it in the microwave, you don't have that pan to clean.
Well, you know, I'm a chef. I cook. I enjoy
and
it.
And I'm not, yes.
It relaxes me and so forth. And, you know, people who want to use microwaves to cook and whatnot, you're on your own.
Yeah.
All right? I'm not going there. Then we did a southern dinner with fried chicken, collard greens, hop
this
and John.
This was the
workshop.
Right.
I'm just going through some of these. How about a paella? Mm. Do you ever have a paella?
Uh-huh. Certainly at a restaurant.
Sure.
Yes. And you can do that. Usually it's cooked outdoors.
Really?
In a paella pan, but you can do it stovetop.
Mm-hmm.
And Kale's very popular these days.
Sure is.
There's a wonderful kale salad with roasted beets and pumpkin seeds. You kind of cook the pumpkin seeds with a little bit of smoked paprika.
Oh, this is making me hungry.
And a dash of maple syrup. And
oh
then
my
you
goodness.
Toast the pumpkin seeds. You can keep them. You can just eat them that way. But you put in the roasted beets, and then you make a nice salad dressing with that. And everybody knows, I think by now, you massage the kale. And that particularly, after a couple of days, tastes even better, seems like.
Actually, I didn't know. What do you mean you massage the kale?
Well, you take the salad dressing, which is vinegar and oil, or whatever you're using to flavor it, and you put that on it. And that's how the oil, as when you make a ceviche, the acidic factor actually cooks the seafood. And in this case, it cooks the kale.
Oh.
And you massage it using your hands.
Your hands.
Is very,
right. Yes.
You massage it in so that the leaves get kind of wilted a little bit. And I've also noticed other people have too. If you leave it in the fridge covered for a day or so, it tastes even better.
Oh, good.
It kind of cooks itself. That's
well,
a nice
we have
one.
All these wonderful greens around right
yeah.
now.
Yes.
We certainly do.
And I've been cooking broccolini a lot, which I think is much better than broccoli because it has a sort of sweet flavor in the stem, which is edible.
And what do you do with it?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Ellen, how do you cook it?
I put it in a pan with, I saute it with olive oil and garlic. Salt and pepper.
Do you blanch it first?
No.
I would recommend blanching it first.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Do you know what blanching is?
Yeah.
Some people don't.
Well, tell us so that I know,
well,
too.
Well, tell me what you think it is.
I think it is. You get some boiling water going, and you stick it in really quickly and take it right out.
You got it.
Okay.
That's what I thought, too.
It just and
no,
then
truly,
you notice,
I did.
So for the contemplative practice point of view of that, when you first of all, you've cut the broccolini or whatever you have up, and then you put it in the water and you notice that it gets brighter in the water.
Yes, it does.
So there's a sense of luminosity right there. It wakes you up that you're noticing.
Uh-huh.
It's all about noticing.
You're noticing.
Noticing
something.
That it got brighter. And that's fantastic.
Mm.
You know, if you look at it that way, from that point of view. So we had tons of things in these workshops.
I'm sure.
What other foods? What's your favorite food?
Popcorn.
Okay, well, popcorn. Lately, do you ever have nettles?
No.
Nettles grow wild. And they're wonderful. They help a great deal with arthritis as well. Mm. They have prickles, so you have to pick them with gloves on,
mm-hmm.
and you just pick the top parts. And they come up in the spring, very fresh. And you carefully you place them in hot water the same way. You blanch them, or you make a tea out of them, and you can actually eat the greens. They're extremely beneficial and extremely healthy. But some people have taken to drying them and breaking them up and actually putting them on popcorn. The dried nettles. Yeah, you can roast. So, I guess you can roast the leaves as well. You know, anything that makes them a little bit crispy.
Do people who know how to identify mushrooms also know how to pick nettles?
Those are two separate categories. When you're actually looking for greens and things, it's a little bit easier because you've got pictures and it's less dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can still be dangerous, but you've got to take a workshop. You've got to take some classes to be able to identify things.
Yeah.
With mushrooms, it's a little Sounds bit more good. Of a serious business. So we separate those two items from foraging.
I believe my father hunted mushrooms all the time and thought he knew what he was doing. And my mother, it was long before the internet, so you couldn't just go and look it up. But
no. But you had books, right? With
there were books and for identifying and everything. But she somehow had these old wives' tales about how you identify the mushroom. If you put a silver spoon in the pan that you're cooking it in and the spoon turns black, it's poisonous, you should throw it away, I'm thinking.
Sounds very sensible to me.
It does, but I don't know if it is
real
or not.
You probably need to know it's poisonous long before that, because some of them are so poisonous when you handle them.
Yeah.
There's a problem.
You can't, and when you're gathering mushrooms, you can't mix the types. You should have separate sort of paper bags to put them in.
I've also been taught the greens are that way as well. But you need an expert. You need to have an expert identify it.
Anyway, as kids, we wouldn't touch them. You know?
Right.
Or dandelion greens or the other. You know, my father was eating weeds, we thought. We didn't want that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now it's sort of much prized. Do you remember Yule Gibbons,
of course, yes,
who wrote "Stalking the Wild Asparagus" and several other books.
Yes,
he got us into. I guess I was still living at home when that book was published. I don't know, but we learned how to eat milkweed. When milkweed grows, and first the blossoms come out or the buds, it's really, really early. That's the part you eat, and you blanch. Blanch them.
Uh-huh.
The water turns Kelly green, and then you go from there. I don't remember. We just sort of boiled them.
I saw a recipe recently where you actually bread them and fry them.
Yeah,
really.
I've been waiting for the buds to come up. I was going to try that. There was a book that I found. Actually, somebody had sent it to me. They photocopied it, and I think it was called the Lawn Cookbook.
The Lawn Cookbook.
Lawn, eating from your lawn.
Right. Gosh, I have so many weeds. I should do that.
Yeah.
Well, there's got to be some. You know, get an herbalist to come by and or take a class with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a bunch of books.
I'm sure.
Dina Falcone's book is really excellent. I've used it. It's
title?
Called Foraging and Feasting.
Mm-hmm.
That's all around the place. Beautiful illustrations in it. Oh, and then Chinese foods, too. We did Chinese foods.
You did?
Yeah. I've taught that recently at Ulster BOCES.
Uh-huh.
The BOCES, actually, the BOCES in Columbia Greene County, I think they haven't had cooking classes there for a very long time.
Really?
They
I thought
director.
They did.
Yeah, because
no,
they used
haven't.
To, did they not?
I don't know anything. I haven't been in the used to time. But apparently they're redoing the kitchen, and I'm in touch with the director, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, so maybe they're
we could start having
it.
Classes on this side of the river.
Good.
People cross
now,
the river.
Now, we did Ellen's favorite food. I like fish.
Uh-huh.
I like salmon. I like all kinds of fish. Do you anything for fish?
Yes, I certainly do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever make an olive tapenade? Do you know what that is?
Yes, kind of. I've had it.
You've had it.
At a restaurant.
Yeah.
But
so
I don't make it.
It's got a nice strong flavor.
Yes.
It's easy to find a recipe. You just you put
delicious.
It in a food processor and you take like black olives, usually cured ones, not the stuff from the can, but nice cured black
nice
olives. And you add some garlic, and very often they add anchovies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes almonds, or breadcrumbs and some olive oil. I forget mm-hmm. what else. A little lemon juice. That's nice. Anyway, for the fish, what you do is you steam it. Mm-hmm. You take a nice piece of, for instance, cod, mm-hmm. and you steam it. And then if you put the black olive tapenade, which mm-hmm. is very strongly flavored, you'd kind of smear that on top. You've got something absolutely wonderful.
I'm sure. And then to steam it, so you take a basket and you put it in some boiling water with the fish on top of the basket.
As long as the fish isn't in the water, you take a steamer. You use a steamer. You put a little water on the bottom so the water's not touching the steamer.
Okay.
And you put the fish in that.
Got it.
You can even use a wok, and you can dummy mm-hmm. it up somehow. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy to do that. Mm-hmm. The steamers are very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And steaming food altogether is just terrific. It gives you a chance to make a nice sauce that goes with it. Mm-hmm. Even mm-hmm. if it's just tahini and some lemon juice, you mm-hmm. steam a vegetable. And sometimes, actually, the first show, I did go back to that, a grain bowl, where you actually make a grain and you have some steamed vegetables and a bit of a sauce. And there is a recipe for that on the website, on mm-hmm. the Facebook page for Eating It in the Hudson Valley, actually. I'd recommend. Because that's something that you can always go back to. Sometimes you splurge, you eat out all the time, and you've eaten mm-hmm. too many different foods, and you need a break. Mm-hmm. And that kind of eating a grain bowl, which kind of comes from a macrobiotic tradition, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. you don't have to do it that way, is a good place to rest and just eat that way for a day or two. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. But again, I want to remind people, if I may, about the Facebook page.
Yes, do.
And the next show is August 8th.
Yes, and we're talking to Phyllis Segura, who does a show here on WGXC Acre 90.7, which is where we are. And Phyllis, tell them the name of your show again.
Eating It in the Hudson Valley.
And the date and the time.
It's the second Tuesday of mm-hmm. the month. Mm-hmm. The next one is August 8th, mm-hmm. and it's at 2 p.m. for an hour.
Great.
And the ones after, I actually figured out the dates. It's September 12th, October 10th, okay. November 14th, December 12th, and January 9th.
There's your year, yes.
There you go.
It's all outlined for you. That's wonderful.
One day at a time.
Yes. Excellent. Well, let's see. Oh, it's almost 5:30, so I'm going to tell you again that this is the Thursday afternoon show on WGXC Acre, 90.7 on your radio dial, or streaming anytime at WGXC.org. I'm Debbie Mayer. I'm the engineer now. The inmates have taken over the asylum. I'm here with Ellen Thurston.
Here I am.
Yes, who's the host of the show, and we're talking to Phyllis Segura about food.
Who's made me very hungry.
Yes, it's true. It's a time of day.
But talking about grain bowls, oh, they're delicious.
Are they?
Yeah. Several restaurants here, takeout places, will do grain bowls or rice bowls sometimes,
too.
Oh,
I didn't know mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, speaking of restaurants in Hudson, I heard that Tansy's is closing.
Yes, I think
it makes a lot of people unhappy.
It will, yes. But you know what makes me unhappy, which is not exactly our subject. But right before I got here, I got a message from the gossips of Rivertown, everyone. Uh-huh. And our assessor, Cheryl, is leaving.
I'm sorry, who?
The assessor in Hudson.
Oh.
Her first name is Cheryl. She has got a new job. And she is leaving Hudson, and I'm very sad because I like her.
She gave you a good assessment.
She did, yes.
Oh, well, that is too bad.
And she really cleaned up that office. You know, it's all digital now. I used to bring her photocopies, and then she would just scan it and give me back the copy I made, so I don't have to do that anymore. You know, she's great. She's very well organized, but she's leaving.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, back to food. Yes, and Tansy's, you think, is closing.
Well, you know, when one restaurant closes, two or three fill the gap.
Right.
It seems
like they say one door closes and another opens. So one restaurant closes and three more open, you're saying?
Yeah, maybe not three, but
two, yeah.
There are, thank goodness, lots of places to eat in Hudson.
There certainly are.
If you don't feel like cooking.
My word.
Most of them are closed either on Monday or Tuesday, so you have to be alert to call before you go.
Right, and some are closed on Wednesday. I always say, Ellen, that that's what's going to keep my mind alive, is trying to remember when the restaurants are open during the week.
It's a hard one.
Yeah, because I think Bobby Louise is closed on Wednesday.
Yes, they are.
Right. I think and Wednesday's...
I remember that because when they opened, yes. I said to the owner, I think if you want to do good business here in Hudson, you should stay open on Tuesdays.
Oh, okay.
Mondays and Tuesdays, because that's when everybody else is closed. So he did it.
So he did it.
So he's closed on Wednesdays instead.
Uh-huh. And I was there Tuesday night, and it was very busy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There. Proves my theory.
There you go.
Anyway, all right. It's been fun to have you here, Phyllis.
Good. Yes.
And to learn about what you're doing. And you've been involved in food for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I liked your... Your salad ideas.
Yes.
Who is it? There's Salads. A food writer on the New York Times who published in the Times a list of 100 salads.
Oh, no
Mark
kidding.
Bittman did that.
Mark yes. Bittman. Yes. That's who it was.
Yeah.
And they were all great ideas, I thought. Oh, I mean, I didn't make all of them, so right. I can't
He show has you a lot the of these 100 lists.
Yes, yeah. I remember years ago, he had 100 dishes or something.
They're very good when you said, when you can't think of what to make. You just kind of, I use cookbooks that way.
You
just
know what
as
I
mnemonics,
do?
Just to figure out, oh, I could do that. I don't necessarily follow the recipe,
yeah,
but
mm-hmm.
I just read what the title is.
Right. Mm-hmm. I force myself to try to use what's in the refrigerator because I realize that I go to the farmer's market, my eyes are bigger than my stomach, everything looks wonderful and fresh, and I buy more than I can actually use sometimes. And I hate throwing it away, throwing food away.
Oh, yes.
Such a waste.
Well, it is.
Food waste is one of the topics I hope to be covering.
Yes,
yeah.
That would be a good
days.
Topic to cover
well, it
also.
It is. It's a big topic at the moment. Yeah.
Right. Yep. It is.
So there are never-ending topics. This program will never end.
Right.
Well, one thing I've discovered myself in trying to, you know, when you buy too much,
Yes.
If you actually groom the things that you've purchased,
yes,
and you put them away cleanly groomed, your tendency to use them is so much
absolutely
better.
Yes,
and
right.
They won't spoil as easily. Mm-hmm. So when you get a chance, bring them home. Maybe you're too exhausted to do it at that very moment. Been out in the sun all day, but a little bit later, clean the vegetables
everything.
And put them away properly. Put the herbs in some water, cover it with some plastic so they will last a long time and things like that. And sometimes with herbs also, I just put them out on a tray and let them dry and then save them that way.
Yeah. I find that salad greens especially...
They go fast.
They go fast, and it's partly because they're too wet.
Yes.
When the purveyor has, you know, washed all the greens and somehow their practice is to leave them in that condition. I sometimes put them in a salad spinner and dry them.
Yes, that's a good idea. And put a little paper towel in there,
too. I put a paper towel in to absorb whatever.
I've noticed in the stores, you know, when they spray the vegetables and then they sell them. Well, then they sell them by the pounds. You know how heavy water is.
I know. It adds weight, and it makes them not last as long.
That's true. Yeah. Well, it preserves them in the store.
And it gets your head wet if you're in the wrong spot.
Yes. Doesn't it?
Anyway. Well.
There used to be a bar that I favored in New York a long time ago called the Menemsha, and it was on 57th Street. And you would go in there,
and they had
a diorama around the room. And about every 20 minutes, there would be this false thunder and lightning, and the place would get dark.
I remember
I just love going in there.
Do you think it's still there?
Oh, I know it's not.
The Menemsha Bar.
Menemsha, Maine, yeah.
What was it? Was it in a hotel or a...
No, it was just a freestanding place on 57th Street.
Just a freestanding bar.
Huh. Yeah.
I remember it. And, you know, you would take people there and you'd say, oh, you're going to like this. But you don't tell them about the thunderstorm.
Exactly.
Suddenly it starts sounding like the heavens are falling.
It would be nice to have a place.
Let's start a Menemsha bar in Hudson.
Sure.
It would be very popular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could do it with a whaling vessel.
Yes.